This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
On November 28, 1953, one of America's greatest mysteries occurred when an Army biochemist working with the CIA fell to his death from a hotel window in New York City. 22 years later, it was revealed that that scientist, Frank Olson, had been drugged with LSD just days before his death. In 1996, the New York District Attorney's Office opened a murder investigation into Olson's strange death, and the strangeness surrounding Olson's death only widened. The question is, who killed Frank Olson and why? Now the mystery is solved. The new book is a terrible mistake: The Murder of Frank Olson and the CIA's Secret Cold War Experiments. Author Hank Albarelli joins me on the program. You can check him out online at albarelli.net. Hank, how are you, sir?
Very good. I'm happy to be with you this afternoon.
Absolutely. When did you first hear about this?
Oh, goodness. 1975, when Olson's alleged suicide was initially made public, along with his dosing with LSD by the CIA. That was through the findings of the Rockefeller Commission, which had been appointed by President Gerald Ford, who was president briefly and serving him at the time and actually working behind the scenes with Gerald Ford were two names that people are pretty familiar with, and those are Donald Rumsfeld and Richard Cheney. At the time, Rumsfeld was Gerald Ford's chief assistant, and Cheney was a chief assistant to Rumsfeld in turn. And even though Olson's death was revealed at that point in time as an alleged suicide, which it wasn't, it was certainly a murder, there was a lot of behind-the-scenes shuffling going on to cover up other very ultra-secret doings on the part of the CIA and in Fort Detrick, where Frank Olson found himself in the middle of those activities. And the White House in 1975 did a pretty good job of covering up those activities.
It's a fantastic book. We want to encourage people to get it and explore this really delicious murder mystery that's finally been solved. The book is A Terrible Mistake, and we're talking with author Hank Albarelli. So, Hank, tell us the extent to which you can. We really want to encourage people to get this book. But the extent to which you can, tell us who was Frank Olson and what happened to him?
Well, in a lot of ways, Olson was every man in the early 1940s. He was called up for military duty in 1942. He had graduated from the University of Wisconsin with a Ph.D. in biochemistry, so he was ideal pickings for Fort Detrick, which was just getting off the ground. And his wartime experience was pretty uneventful. He never went overseas, and he worked on pretty middle of the road mile chemical weapons. But immediately following the Second World War, the CIA came knocking on Fort Detrick's door and really wanted to get into some extremely exotic experimentation with things, with all sorts of substances, including LSD, cobra venom, and things that are just completely unimaginable. And most of those programs were aimed, fell into the area of assassination or incapacitating small groups of people. So around 1950, Olson found himself working almost full-time for the Central Intelligence Agency on what basically amounted to assassination or mind control programs, with some work falling into the category of what we'd call today enhanced interrogations.
We're talking with Hank Albarelli. The new book is A Terrible Mistake. Now, Hank, LSD was also a part of the things he was working with, right?
Very much so. Very, very much so.
So describe that to us, how the CIA and did they, you know, what were they doing in terms of the experiments, and what do we know about their actual use of LSD?
Sure. Actually, it's pretty interesting. Usually, if you go onto the Internet or Google the topic, normally you'll find that it was the CIA that initially turned the Army onto LSD, but it was really exactly the other way around. The Army became interested in LSD in 1949, and was able to draw the CIA into their interest. The Army, remarkably enough, it seems kind of hard to believe now, initially thought they could use LSD to displace violent warfare. In other words, they could use the chemical LSD to replace the use of guns and bombs. How they were going to fashion that and actually fight wars on that basis, they never did explain. But what they wanted to do in early 1950 was engage a number of field experiments where they could actually go out and, under realistic situations, actually use the drug and see what would happen. And one of the situations they picked early on in 1951, in summer of 1951, took place in a French town in southern France. And it was a very realistic experiment, described in great detail in the book, but basically resulted in about 700 people going stark raving mad, and because their food products and water were dosed with LSD, and they got up one morning and partook in both those substances, and an hour and a half later were in the middle of a hallucinogenic trip. As a result of that experiment, five people actually killed themselves that same day, and then about 50 or 60 were carted off to local insane asylums in and around Pont-Saint Esprit. That was the town where this experiment was conducted. And it was Olson's division at Fort Detrick, the Special Operations Division, that conducted that experiment on at the request of the Central Intelligence Agency.
We're talking with Hank Albarelli. His new book is A Terrible Mistake, The Murder of Frank Olson and the CIA's Secret Cold War Experiments. So the CIA in the 1950s dosed this small town in France. Did the French government know about this? Or was this
Well, the French government now says they didn't know a thing about it, and they've made inquiries to this country. But a number of the documents I unearthed through the Freedom of Information Act strongly hint that the French government did know about it. The provider of the LSD that was used in the experiment was a large pharmaceutical company called the Sandoz Chemical Company, which is very close to France. It's in Basel, Switzerland. And when the experiment was conducted in Pont-Saint-Esprit, the French authorities sent in scientists to try to ascertain what was going on, and the very scientists that came in were from the Sandoz Chemical Company. Of course, in 1951, nobody knew. Nobody within the public knew about the existence of LSD, and the Sandoz officials that studied the incident were able to deflect any suspicions directed at them by saying that it was a case of ergot poisoning, that what the townspeople had actually encountered and why they acted bizarrely was because they ate infected bread. That through a natural process produces a substance called ergot, which is very, very close to LSD, and then actually went into the discovery of LSD itself. But in fact, it was actually LSD that was used against the town.
We're talking with Hank Albarelli, if you just joined us. His new book is A Terrible Mistake, The Murder of Frank Olson and the CIA's Secret Cold War Experiments. Phone lines are open at 977-1070. Susan is on the line in Albemarle County. Susan, your father was in the Army and given LSD, is that right?
Yeah, he told us for years that they asked for volunteers, and they went out and they gave them LSD and observed their behavior and so forth. And he never really said, you know, how much or for how long, but it seemed like it was more than once that it happened. So, and he was in the Army in the early 50s, so apparently they were checking up on the substance at that point.
That's really fascinating. Susan, thanks for the call. So, so Hank, this was something that the CIA and the Army were really involved in the 50s.
Well, that's exactly right. And the caller is a very timely phone call. I go into a lot of detail in the book about what the Army did after the Pont Saint-Esprit incident. And the CIA was on the same track, but the Army was conducting a lot of its own experiments. But in all, between about 1953 and 1965, the Army experimented on over 6,000 servicemen with LSD. And in most of those cases, the servicemen volunteered for what they thought was going to be an experiment with a mild pharmaceutical drug. And in some cases, they were lied to and told they were going to be testing protective clothing that would make them quite hot, because these tests were conducted in Maryland during the summer at Edgewood Arsenal, and during the process of the so-called experiment, they'd be given a glass of water or two to drink, and that's how the drug would be transferred to them. But over 6,000 servicemen were dosed with LSD, and I had the opportunity a few weeks ago to actually talk to one of the Army doctors who had partially overseen the experiment, and I asked him why just servicemen? Because when I say servicemen, I meant that quite literally. There was a rule against women being given the drug, service women. And the fellow sort of paused, and he said, "Well, what do you think? We're crazy? You think we'd give LSD to a woman?" And I said, "No, I don't think you're crazy at all, but I can't imagine why you'd give it to anybody at all,
yeah, right.
much less a woman." And he really had no reply to that. But 6,000 people is a large number, and it may seem somewhat humorous, and it is in some ways, but a large number of those people ended up suffering some dire consequences. There
yeah.
was a large percentage of suicides following those tests, and a large percentage of deep-seated psychological problems.
The new book is A Terrible Mistake, about the CIA's secret Cold War experiments and the till now unsolved murder of scientist biochemist Frank Olson. So tell us, before we run out of time here, mm-hmm. Hank, tell us how Frank actually died and who killed him and why.
Well, he died much in the fashion that everybody was told. He went through a glass window on the 10th floor of the Statler Hotel in New York City. The only real difference is he didn't go through the window under his own means. He was actually thrown through the window. And the remarkable thing is the identities of both men that killed him. Both were foreign nationals. Both had been sentenced to death in France before they had come here. They had escaped France for collaboration with the Nazis and had fled through South America to Montreal, and then had come into New York City, where they were deeply involved in heroin trafficking before they were recruited by the CIA.
The CIA recruited these drug traffickers to
mm-hmm.
kill Frank Olson?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Actually, one of the men had been recruited about a year and a half prior to Olson's death to work undercover with an infamous federal narcotics agent whose name was George Hunter White. And White's job prior to Olson's death for about a year was to operate an ultra-secret safe house in New York City in Greenwich Village, where the CIA would routinely bring in diplomats, people off the street, you name it, criminals, and experiment with LSD and other substances on them. And
amazing. Amazing. So let's go quick to the phones. Eric is on the program. Eric, go right ahead.
Yes, I'd like to ask your guest, to what extent was Frank Olson involved with MK Ultra? And also, if so, what did you uncover in the course of your research? You mentioned assassination, mm-hmm. about the idea that the CIA was trying to create a Manchurian candidate sort of situation where they could use drugs and they could use hypnosis to potentially create an assassin that they could trigger at will, basically.
Sure.
So I'll hang up and listen.
You're absolutely. in terms of creating a Manchurian-type candidate, although they didn't call it that at that time. But there was a tremendous amount of work done on that. In terms of Olson's involvement with MKUltra, it was minimal. What Olson was involved with was a program called MKNaomi, which was somewhat similar, but not completely. And then the program that was covered up in 1975 by Cheney and Rumsfeld that Olson was involved in was called Project Artichoke. And very little, until I wrote the book, very little was known about Artichoke. But Olson was part of what the CIA called the Artichoke Committee, sometimes called the Artichoke Conference. But Artichoke, in a nutshell, took MKUltra was a research program. It had about 150 sub-projects. And all of the good data techniques and research that came out of MKUltra were transferred over to Artichoke, where it was actually put into operation in the field, both overseas and domestically. So we all know that MKUltra was a pretty horrible program, but the far worse program was Artichoke, because Artichoke wasn't just aimed at research. Wasn't aimed at research at all. It was actually aimed at interrogation, assassination, and the creation of Manchurian-type candidates to engage those assassinations.
We're talking with Hank Albarelli. So, Hank, before we run out of time here, why did the CIA want Frank Olson killed? I mean, if he was one of their main guys helping them, providing all of these chemicals for him that they were very intent upon using and figuring out future ways to put to work for him, why would they kill him?
Well, that's a good question. And the short answer is because Olson had decided to leave. Olson no longer wanted to work either for the CIA or Fort Detrick. And he had announced the fact that he was leaving and indeed had already made plans to retrain himself as a dentist. He wasn't in a position to really leave on his own announcement. And on top of that, Olson, as a personality, was pretty indiscreet, arrogant, outspoken, and really often went out of his way to challenge authority. So, if anything, he was working in a completely wrong environment involving the CIA and the Army. But it was his indiscreet pronouncements that really got him into serious trouble, and that's why he was dosed with LSD. 9 days before his death at Deep Creek Lake. It wasn't as a lark as the press and the CIA informed us in 1975. Olson himself was really subject to an interrogation, much like he and others had designed for others overseas.
Amazing, amazing. Now, I guess the last question is, has the CIA, come forward about their, about what really happened?
No. They probably never will. The problem is, I would guess, even if they wanted to, and I'm sure they don't want to. I mean, they've consistently lied about this case since 1953, and they got caught. They got caught in half a lie in 1975. So they ramped it up a little bit and said, that was a mistake. We're fooling around with LSD, but it was just a joke. And even Frank Olson was part of the joke, but to have to admit guilt now, I don't see that ever happening.
Do they continue to experiment with this stuff?
More than experiment, they use it. They use it all the time. It's commonly used in Guantanamo. It was used against Jose Padilla, who was one of the first people arrested after 9/11. It was used to the extent on him where a lot of people, including his lawyers, say that. He really isn't all there at all anymore. When he went into court to be sentenced, finally, he couldn't even speak on his own half. I think what happened with him, he was put in solitary confinement for a little over 2 years, and it was true solitary confinement. And at the same time, LSD was used against him. And, of course, he was unwitting of that. So imagine sitting in solitary confinement, no light, completely dark, no sound. And, maybe every other day somebody's giving you a glass of water with LSD in it. It'd be very easy to lose yourself, if not your mind.
The new book is A Terrible Mistake, The Murder of Frank Olson. and the CIA's Secret Cold War Experiments. Get this book and read it before the Hollywood blockbuster, which is probably inevitable. This is an amazing story, and Hank Albarelli has really done his homework. It is just a fantastic book. Hank, thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much. I've really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. You can check it out online at albarelli.net.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.